Thank you, Mark. Good morning, everyone. So the thoughts behind this experiment really began in fall 2015 when Mark Van Eersel visited Cornell University and sort of reacquainted me with the potential benefits of far red light. And then I had the opportunity to do some hands-on experiments myself in spring 2016 when I took a sabbatical at UC Davis. And so in this picture on the left is Wonsoon Kim, who was also a visiting professor in the lab of Heiner Leith, who's in the middle, and you can see us looking with lights with a spectroradiometer taking measurements. So in this case, we had the ability to deliver four specific lighting treatments. And from previous background in the literature, there had been some really intriguing results reported back in 2004 with green light, that broad-spectrum green light could increase biomass of one particular variety of lettuce by about 50%. And the other reason that we wanted to look at this is we now have the ability to access LEDs that give us more narrow-spectrum green, so we wanted to see if there were potential benefits of that. We also wanted to see if there were potential benefits of far red light, and these were applied with a background of red and blue light, which is common of some of the most frequently used commercially available horticultural LEDs. And finally, broad spectrum or white LEDs are increasingly used in consumer lighting. They're quite popular now, and so they're becoming quite efficient and fairly inexpensive, and so we wanted to compare treatments to those. And I'll explain the lighting treatments in 1 second, but the overall setup of the experiment is we had three different cultivars of lettuce, a butterhead variety, black-seeded Simpson, a red leaf variety, New Red Fire, and a romaine variety, Paris Island Cos. These were grown for 14 days in the seedling stage before we began the lighting treatments. They were grown under a red-blue LED treatment providing 17.3 moles per meter squared per day. These were then transplanted into mini hydroponic ponds at a density of 5.3 plants per square foot. Each tub held 8 plants and 20 liters of nutrient solution. And our treatments were applied in these lighting shelves, so in a sole source environment with three hydroponic tubs fitting under each treatment using General Hydroponics Flora Series nutrients. So in each lighting treatment for each of the three cultivars, there were 8 replicates, and then we repeated the experiment a total of 3 times over time. In terms of the lighting treatments that we applied then, lights were actually on continuously. So 24 hours per day. And then when we initially transplanted the plants, the lights were adjusted so as to provide all 180 micromoles per meter squared per second, PPFD. And then the plants grew over time, right? So they got a little bit closer to the light. We didn't actually raise our lights up every day to account for that, but we did record light intensity over time. And so by the time of plant harvest, 200 micromoles PPFD. So the daily light integral during the treatment period increased from 15.5 to 17.3. And so a little bit more about the lighting treatments themselves. So our kind of control or base recipe, we had 30% of our light, and I'll show you graphs of the wavelength distribution in a second, 38% blue, 61% red. Our second lighting treatment had the same amount of photosynthetically active radiation provided from red and blue, but then in terms of the total energy of light that was supplied, 21% or about 40 micromoles of light was supplied by far red light. And then treatment number 3 also had a similar background of red and blue light with a little bit less blue light and a little bit more green light, so we were able to achieve 14% green light. And then our last lighting treatment was a phosphor-coated blue LED, which provided fairly broad-spectrum light. So I'll point those out. So treatment number 1 and treatment number 2, you'll see those line up quite closely. And so we have this peak at about 460 nanometers for the blue light that they supplied, and then a peak at about 670 nanometers for the red light that they supplied. And then in this treatment number 2, we had the addition far red light, about 40 micromoles, that was supplied at 740 nanometers as its peak wavelength. Then for treatment number three, we had, again, these peaks in blue and the peak in red, and then we had also our green LEDs had peak wavelength at about 530 nanometers. And finally, our white, as you can see here in this gray line, provided a blue peak at about 460, and then had a wide dispersion of light through the green spectrum, a bit into the red, and a tiny bit even into the far red as well. So these are what the light shelves looked like during the experimental treatments. This is an example of how the light treatments were actually set up. So we had bars with different wavelengths of light, and we selected bars and placed them. And then one of the things that we did was quantify actual distribution of the spectrum of light by kind of mapping these grids. And so there was pretty good uniformity by the time the light reached the plant surface, maybe plus or minus 5% or so, depending on location. But we did randomly scatter the plants throughout the different treatments. Temperature and relative humidity as measured actually within the leaf canopy was slightly greater in the far red treatment and in the green treatment. And also there was somewhat higher humidity in the far red treatment and the white treatment. So let's look at the results in terms of measured biomass components. I'll show a series of these graphs where on the x-axis we have the three different cultivars, the black-seeded Simpson, the butterhead variety, New Red Fire, the red leaf variety, and Paris Island Kos, the romaine variety. And then within each of those varieties we have the red and blue treatment, the red-blue far red treatment, the green treatment with the background of red and blue, and then the broad-spectrum white treatment. And in this case, looking at shoot fresh weight, one of the things that we found is there was a cultivar-specific response in that with New Red Fire, we saw no significant effects on lighting treatment on fresh weight. However, for black-seeded Simpson and Paris Island Kos, we did see a higher shoot fresh weight under that far red treatment. And in the case of black-seeded Simpson, we also saw that the green light treatment gave us higher shoot fresh weight than the white treatment. Shoot dry weight followed similar patterns. So it's interesting, again, that for black-seeded Simpson, we saw about a 30% increase in shoot dry weight once we had far red light added into our lighting treatments. And that pattern was found for Paris Island, but not for New Red Fire. And what did the plants actually look like? So one of the things that we noticed in the far red treatment is that the black-seeded Simpson actually had earlier bolting under this far red treatment, which could make sense, right? We've been in these sessions this week talking about far red effects on flowering and flower initiation. So perhaps that's also that far red light is also favoring earlier reproductive development in the lettuce. Another hypothesis could be there were slightly warmer temperatures under this far red treatment as well, so that could also have led to earlier bolting. That earlier bolting was not seen in New Red Fire, and there was maybe some slight indication of that in the Paris Island in the romaine lettuce. In terms of root fresh weight, no statistically significant differences for black-seeded Simpson. And then, interestingly, the red-blue treatment, we had slightly higher root fresh weight, and this was the same with root dry weight as well, with the red-blue treatment over the other treatments. But then with the romaine lettuce, we actually saw higher incidence of root fresh weight, and here's the results for root dry weight as well under that far red treatment. In terms of leaf surface area, the only significant response that we saw was slightly higher leaf surface area for the far red treatment for black-seeded Simpson over the red-blue treatment or the white treatment. We did note some incidents of tip burn, so physiological disorder resulting from calcium deficiency, typically due to fast growth of plants or high humidity and poor airflow. And the romaine was particularly sensitive to it. So we did score kind of an index for tip burn regarding the number of leaves that were affected by the on the plant, with one meaning none, two equaling one to two leaves affected, and so on. And one of the things that we found is that far-red treatment, which promoted plant growth of black-seeded Simpson and Paris Island Cos, also gave us higher tip burn in Paris Island Cos and in New Red Fire as well. So to summarize what we found from these four lighting treatments, we did find some beneficial effects, far red light on shoot fresh weight and dry weight. We saw conflicting results for root fresh weight and dry weight in terms of cultivar response. And then these beneficial effects on far red light, they could be due to, we can't discount temperature because we did have slightly higher temperature. They might be due to the morphological effects of increased leaf expansion, or they could be due to the Emerson effect that Mark talked about earlier, resulting in greater photosynthesis. Some of the detrimental effects that we saw far red light as carried out through the mature stage for lettuce was increased tip burn, as well as earlier bolting in black-seeded Simpson. So this suggests a possible strategy could be to use far red light only early in the crop cycle for lettuce production, maybe to help with early leaf expansion and photosynthesis, but then as the crop matures to remove far red light from the lighting strategy. And I want to acknowledge two undergraduates in the leaf lab that were very instrumental in helping and monitoring the plants every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Do we have questions for Neil?
Eric. We did not. We're not able to quantify airspeed. There was decent airflow kind of above each of these cabinets, but yeah, we did not get to quantify that in each of the treatments. Right, because we did see higher relative humidity in those treatments as well, so we can't discount that from the effects that we saw. Yeah.
So Neil, when you mentioned that you had higher temperatures at the far right, was that air temperature or was that leaf temperature?
Yeah, so it was air temperature, but within the leaf canopy. So the temperature sensor was placed within the leaf canopy. We didn't actually measure leaf surface temperature. Yeah, it could be a radiation effect, or could be maybe if there are there's more leaf development, maybe less airflow within that canopy. Yes, William. Correct. Yeah. So the photosynthetically active radiation between 400 and 700 nanometers was always the same in each treatment, which started at 180 micromoles, and then the far red light was additional energy that was added.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of us.